You're listening to Stateside. I'm April Baer. A year ago in March, Daquan Fistrunk opened up his restaurant, the Green Mile Grill, in Detroit. Then this year, the coronavirus hit. Prior to opening Green Mile, Daquan spent 7 years in prison, most of that time at Lakeland Correctional in Coldwater. And that's where he met his mentor, Jimmy Lee Hill, the executive chef at Lakeland. As you just heard, he runs a food technology program that's designed to give inmates the knowledge and the skills that will help them pursue jobs in the service industry. We called them up today to find out how they're doing and a little bit more about their stories. Chef Hill, Chef Daquan, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for having me.
Chef Hill, I wonder if we could just start out asking how you and the guys that you work with are doing. We know that some 800 inmates tested positive for COVID at Lakeland and that 28 people have died so far. How are you holding up?
Well, it's definitely better than it was. We're back in class now. My students are 25 in the morning and 25 in the afternoon. We are right now doing 6 in the morning and 6 in the afternoons for a total of 12 all day until we work our way back up into the numbers of the capacity of the class.
Could you describe what people learn in the program? Judging from some of the menus I've read about, it sounds pretty intense.
It was always my plan to teach them more than just fast food. Because, I mean, you need to be a little bit more polished to secure a job that you can actually, you know, take care of your family. And so that's why we do a lot of the things that we do. You know, we do prime rib. We do seafood, salmon, oysters, scallops. We do that because they need to know fine dining. And things like that, and then all the things that we grow here.
So there's a farm to table aspect to this.
We basically grow everything, everything but corn. We just can't seem to get that corn stock out.
Well, I can imagine this time of year you must have an incredible range to work with too. Do you remember when you first met Daquan?
I do. It was actually I walked over to the kitchen. Where the population eats. I see this guy standing in the kitchen there. And I heard him say, who is that guy? And that was the first time that I had ever seen him. He was working in the kitchen. But it was kind of hilarious because, you know, every time someone sees someone that they've never seen before in terms of the inmates, the first question that's out of their mouth is, who is that guy? What's his function? So that was my first encounter with Nimrod.
I hope that's a term of endearment.
Yeah, I guess I should let him explain that the word Nimrod as his name.
Please do.
The Nimrod stems from an alias name that I used. So if you get caught and you get sentenced, whatever name you use, they're going to sentence you under that name. So that's where the Nimrod came from.
Got it.
I made up an alias. You know, I had to think of something good. I couldn't be John Adams because there's a thousand John Adams in the world. So I had to think of something that was clever.
I
thought it was clever.
Daquan, had you ever worked in food service before going into the program, or were you much of a home cook?
I mean, I had an area inside a liquor store before I went to prison. So I was testing the waters to see if I was able to run a business, because you can always see like how a restaurant would be open and then you would go like 5 or 6 months later and it'd be closed. But I never understood why until I got in the food tech program.
Right.
Because you don't count the hidden cost of things. You don't pay attention to the food waste and all those type of things. Like even just like simple as just weighing a hamburger out. If it's supposed to be a quarter pound, then it should be a quarter pound instead of trying to eyeball it where you're giving out 5, maybe, you know what I'm saying, more ounces than you should.
So was it like a takeout business in the back of the liquor store?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I could carry out.
What kind of stuff were you making?
Then we were making burgers and fries and maybe some fried fish or something.
Just the basics.
And, you know, like soul food dishes. I do a different soul food dish every day. Meatloaf or some other pork chops, barbecue ribs.
Did working in the program change how you thought about food and cooking?
Working in the program changed my cooking, period. Because, like, you know, Chef touched in earlier about the prime rib. When I never knew about the food. I just heard about the program. But then one day I was in the unit and a guy came back with a plate from Food Tech. I'm like, whoa, where y'all get that from?
Mm-hmm.
They say Food Tech. I'm like, man, they ain't got no food like that over there. Not in prison. Sure stuff. That's what they were doing.
Yeah.
But I wasn't really focused on the food as much. And I remember my interview with Chef Hill. He's talking about, yeah, man, you just want to get over here for the food. I'm like, man, I just get over here for the skill and the craft. So that day that I went for my interview, he told me to come back. So when I came back, they were actually, the classroom that I went in, I thought I was in the wrong place because they transformed it into a whole restaurant. I'm like, whoa. So I'm like, man, this is really where I want to be.
Yeah.
So he stuck me in the dish tank.
Well, where a lot of good things get started, I guess.
That's right.
Yeah.
When you got around to opening the Green Mile Grill in 2019, tell us a little bit about some of the foods that you wanted to have on the menu. I mean, I see some sort of meal staples like lasagna there, but it also seems like there's a Southern flair. I saw you were doing seafood boils for a while. What was important to have as sort of the cornerstones of your menu?
What I really wanted to do was sort of like what Chef Hill did for me. He taught me how to cook five-star dishes and appreciate it. So what I wanted to do was bring those type of dishes into my inner city neighborhood where people don't have to, you know, pay out of pocket from going downtown or going to the, you know, the Troy Michigans and all that type of stuff. They can get the same type of food for a lower price, just as good, if not better. You know, it all depends on who you ask. Our everyday menu, which we do different types of sandwiches, we do lamb chops, we do lobster tails, we do chicken, you know, we do our sides, you know, our seasoned rice, our macaroni and cheese, we do potatoes, loaded potatoes, we do broccoli, we do vegetables. And then, you know, every once in a while, we'll do things like the seafood boils, or we'll do the chicken and waffles. Shout out to Bliss. There, Sermon, she's amazing.
Right.
That maple syrup. Yeah, so, you know, I want to show my skills at the same time, do it affordably for the neighborhood, if that makes sense.
Yes. If you're just joining us today, my guests are Chef Daquan Fistrunk of the Green Mile Grill in Detroit, and we're also talking with Chef Jimmy Lee Hill, the executive chef at Lakeland Correctional Facility in Coldwater. He's trained hundreds of inmates in food service skills that can lead to long-term career options. Daquan, tell us a little bit about the support that you got in opening the business. What came together to make it, take it from the idea to the reality?
Well, just, you know, a few people believing in what I was selling, I guess, because it's kind of hard for somebody to see your vision. Oh, yeah, you can cook. Well, let me borrow a few thousand so I can get this going. Ah, man, you know what?
That's a different
you don't cook
story.
That good. In so many words. Yeah, man, won't you just go on, you know, on the barbecue, you know, or whatever. So what I really started doing was selling dinners out my mom's house where she stayed in an apartment building. And it caught fire so fast that she would start getting complaints. So I'm like, man, I can't do this no more here. But in the process, I was trying to, you know, stack up a few coins.
Mm-hmm.
Then finally, a few people, you know, they invested a few dollars. Plus, you know, once the buzz caught kind of fast, it's been that ever since.
Sure. Daquan, I wonder how things have been going for the grill during the pandemic. I mean, so many people are, you know, in a dire financial situation. But at the same time, I can think of a lot of stressed out parents who'd probably love to get their hands on some well-made meals. Are you getting a lot of orders right now?
Man, through the grace of God, that I know it's a lot of bad going on with the corona, but if I just have to say, it's through his grace that we actually picked up because we were carry out anyway. And once she said that food restaurants that's carry outs are essential, we started getting a lot of different clientele. Now we're getting so many repeat customers and still new customers. So
that's fascinating.
Yeah, it's like the word of mouth.
What's your approach? I mean, even though you say you may have an edge on brick and mortar sit down restaurants right now, there are other places people can go for takeout. What is your approach to standing out in an environment where folks may have a lot of different options for what they want to eat?
That's a good question, because it's actually three. My restaurant, then there's two more restaurants within a quarter mile of me mm-hmm. on the same street. So I approach it like, you know, I was in prison for selling drugs. So I approach the food the same way I approach the drugs. If everybody's doing it, what can I do to make it different? And that's what I say. I thank Chef Hill in the course. Man, there was some guys in the program that was tutors before me, and they taught me so much. So I'm sucking it all in, and I'm looking at it like, okay, if I'm going to sell food and everybody's selling food, what can I do different? So what I do is, like I say, I got a $12 lamb chop meal. It costs an arm and a leg somewhere else. So I sell the best quality stuff. And Chef Hill always told, every meal day, he has stuff shipped in from Canada, from Chicago. I never forget when we had the Feast of the Ocean or whatever. We had a big old seafood feast. Man, it was boxes coming in from all over the world. I'm like, man, that's what I do. I buy fresh every day. I go to the butcher every day. I'm not buying nothing frozen unless it's like a French fry or something. We do fresh, we cook to order, and we try to get the best product for the cheapest price that we still can make money. If I try to sell it for the highest it can be, then I won't sell it as fast because it's so much competition. But if I sell it for where I can make money and sell it faster, then I make more. That's how I approach it. That's the same way I approach the drugs when I was, you know, in that life.
So, you know what? Can I just say that I am extremely proud of Daquan, because he went from a prisoner to proprietor, and the odds were really against him, you know, because he came from where he came from. But he did. He buckled down and he took it seriously. And a lot of guys, they do. They come here for the food for the most part, because they hear about the food out on the yard. But then there's those who come in and they are really about the business of food service. And Nimrod was about the business of food service. So that's why we clicked really well, because I seen that he had it in him. So I am extremely proud of him.
Oh, man, you got me about to cry in here.
This is beautiful. Yeah,
it was, you know, it was something I wanted. And it's like, when it's something I want, I put the effort into it.
Did you ever feel that having a prison record held you back from getting employment?
I do remember an instance, because they just opened up a new hotel downtown. It's called the Sonola Hotel, and they were hiring everybody. So I applied for a job. And, you know, with my food tech credentials and all the things that I obtained through food tech, say Michigan Restaurant Association, you know, management first. Man, I'm talking about, I'm kind of like nice on the, you know, the hardware. Plus, I can cook a little bit. So when I went and applied for the job, and other people that was applying, that one little, have you ever been convicted of a felon?
Right.
You know, that
ding, 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 ding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They didn't call me back. No call back. But I know I'm a lot qualified than a lot of these people. You know, but it was cool, because it led me to something else. I didn't give up. I didn't quit, because this is what I really wanted to do.
Chef Hill, it's got to be hard to be working with the guys in the program, looking at what's going on outside. You know, the economic shutdown that's happened as a result of the pandemic has put a serious damper on Michigan's restaurant scene. That's true in Detroit. That's true just about everywhere in the state. What kinds of conversations are you having right now about the prospects for some meaningful work after they're out in the world?
Well, we do have those conversations about, you know, what to do once you get out there to make yourself, you know, employable. We have like a food service symposium that we do every year. And, you know, I bring in chefs, and actually a lot of chefs out of the Detroit area. And we have a question that posed to them about how to start that food truck or what chefs look for in terms of verbals and hygiene and, you know, appearance. It makes a difference here because tattoos, for example, a lot of my guys in here, they are tatted up, you know, and a lot of them would say something like, you know, chef, I'm not going to be able to get a job. Look at me. And so I thought one year, you know what? I need to bring somebody in here who looks like this person with these tattoos. And so I started bringing chefs in that had tattoos. And once the students seen them, the first thing one guy said to me was, well, he has more tattoos than I do. I was like, yeah, but that doesn't stop his ability to cook. And that particular person, he growed tremendously within those next 3 or 4 months because he seen someone that looked like him that wasn't an inmate.
Have you two had a chance to see each other on the outside?
I've laid eyeballs on him a couple of times.
we bumped into each other a couple of times. I just want to comment on that last part about the inmate, you know what I'm saying? The perception of it.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people be thinking like, you cooking right now. You ain't going to be doing that when you get out. Or, man, I ain't really trying to do that. Man, this stuff ain't going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, you're going to get out what you put in it. This is what I tell guys, right? You know, up last year, I had opportunity to go back to the prison and to the same classroom. I stepped in the same classroom as a citizen and had the opportunity to talk to the guys. And see, in the classroom, we had this wall. And it's a lot of pictures on there. It's famous people. And it's like the conversation used to always be making that wall. So Michigan Restaurant Association did an article on me. Long story short, I made that wall. So the guys seen me before I even got there. And they synced the story. So it was like a breath of fresh air to a lot of guys that was thinking about it, that was on the fence. Maybe I'm going to do it. Maybe I ain't. Maybe I'm going to take the class series. Maybe I don't. So when I walked in, they was like, damn, that's him. You know what I'm saying? It was almost that. It was that kind of effect. So, like Chef said, just being able to relate to somebody that you can relate to, like far as the guys with the tattoos or the guys that may be thinking that you can't succeed at this, you get out what you put in. If you serious about the cooking game or, you know, being involved in restaurant and hospitality, man, that program is the best thing in the world for your situation because you can transition from it.
Daquan Fistrunk is the proprietor and chef at Green Mile Grill in Detroit. We've also been talking with Chef Jimmy Lee Hill, the executive chef at Lakeland Correctional in Coldwater. Gentlemen, thank you both so much for your time. We really appreciate this.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. I appreciate it.